But today I'd like to begin by talking about water in a different place. Not water in a lake, but water somewhere else. Kids, adults, can you remember what kind of strange watery weather we had 2 weeks ago in New Plymouth? What do you remember? There were 4 days. Then the water was not where it was supposed to be. Couldn't see your neighbour. Couldn't see the end of the driveway. What was going on, kids? What's that called? Fog? Yeah, fog. Like this. Can you see that this is a foggy day? You can just see a road. Just see some lines. This is a foggy day like we had, isn't it? Fog where you just can't see where you're going and things don't work as well and stuff's in the way and you can't see your neighbours. Oh dear, bit of water in the wrong place. Okay, I think I'm going to call that an excellent illustration of what I'm talking about. Thank you, Will, for getting me to tell. So, water in the wrong place means you can't see your neighbours, you can't see your friends. It's harder to communicate, harder to get along, isn't it? Now, my story about the fog is really Matt's story about the fog. Thank you very much, Will. Because when the fog arrived in New Plymouth, do you know where Matt was? Wellington, when the fog arrived. And Matt headed to the airport in Wellington to come home. But the New Plymouth airport was closed because the fog was so thick that the aeroplanes couldn't see far enough in front of them to land or take off. So Matt's flight was cancelled and he was stuck in Wellington. But the clever people at Air New Zealand decided on a solution, which was to send him to Auckland. Because at least the Auckland flights came to New Plymouth more frequently. So if he got to Auckland, he'd have a better chance of getting here quicker if the fog cleared. Unfortunately, the clever people at Air New Zealand didn't look out the window in New Plymouth, or they would have guessed that the fog was not going to clear. And so that afternoon, Matt was put on a bus from Auckland to New Plymouth. So it took him 10 hours to get from Wellington to New Plymouth, which is about the same time he could have got to Hong Kong in on a plane. But lucky for me, he was much more pleased to be back in New Plymouth. And fog just gets in the way of everything. Things don't work as well, do they? And I sort of wished that maybe we could control the fog and maybe we could have gone down to the airport. Do you think, kids, do you reckon if we had, on that Thursday afternoon, if we had all gone to the airport and huffed and puffed and blown the fog away, do you think that would have worked?
Yeah, I think we've done it long enough.
Can you all blow hard for me? Let's hear what it sounds like. Try not to spit. Okay, so blow fog away. Do you think that's going to shift the fog? It doesn't seem like it's enough, eh? So it seemed to me this week we're talking about one of the water wings that will keep us afloat is the practice of communion, of eating and drinking to remember Jesus in a special way. And it seemed to me that fog, like we had in New Plymouth, is a bit like the brokenness that we have in our lives that gets in the way and stops things working as well. And gets in the way of our relationships. Like Val said, she couldn't see her neighbour when it was foggy. And when we have this brokenness in our lives and in this world, that we sometimes call sin, it's a bit like that. It gets in the way. We can't see each other as clearly. We can't love people as much as we want to and we need to. And we can't love God as much as we want to and we need to. It's a bit like we've got God and we've got me and you. And the fog kind of gets in the way. The brokenness in our lives, the sin, the stuff that's not going really as it should, gets in the way. And we have clouds of this brokenness that mean we can't see God as clearly. And we can't love God and love other people as clearly because all of this fog is in the way. That sort of sounds like how it was in New Plymouth a couple of weeks ago, eh? So, if we are not big and strong enough to blow fog away and clear an airport, and I think we're probably not, are we? We're not big and strong enough to just blow this fog away, the sinny fog that stops us relating to other people and to God. So So isn't it good that we have God who is big and strong, the biggest and strongest in the universe, and God can blow the fog away for us? So when we... we'll just keep the excitement about this fog and blowing down. Excellent. Just keep the noise levels down. Thank you. So when we share communion, it is to remind us that God is a God of new beginnings, where we can start over again every day, every second of the day. And Jesus is strong enough to blow that fog away. Jesus was strong enough to stare down death and beat death and come back to life. And we can share Jesus' resurrected life if we want to follow Jesus. Let me read to you from something that Jesus said on the night before he died. And it will be on the screen as well, from Matthew 26. So kids, follow along on the screen. Some of you can read and some of you will be able to see some letters that you recognise. And we'll ask all of the kids to make a special effort to be quiet as we concentrate on these things that Jesus said. So, very good. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." These cups you see on the table, on our communion table, Jesus called these cups elsewhere the cup of the new covenant, the new agreement that God has made with human beings. And you and I can be part of this new agreement. And this new agreement gives us new beginnings whenever we need them, to wipe away all of this fog. It seems to me that that fog, the sin that is in our lives, if we look through the Bible, is partly things that we do that get in the way. Can anyone tell me some examples? And kids might have some ideas of what are some things that you might do that might be sort of sin and fog that get in the way of your relationship with God and your relationships with other people. What are some of the things that you do? Will has an idea.
Lazy.
Lazy. Okay, we'll put that word up here. What are some other words? Nasty. I heard a kid's voice back there being nasty. What else do we have? What are some things that we do? TV, someone said. Might get in the way. Sometimes, you know, it's things that we do, and sometimes it's more things that we are, just ways of being that are part of our lives. And this, you know, this is one of them. Sometimes there might be days when we're lazy, but sometimes it's because we are just lazy generally. So, I have some other answers here. Jonathan, what do you think? Hitting. I can relate to that. When I was a kid, that was one of the worst things I did that got in the way of my relationships with my sisters particularly. Claudia? Computer. So just like TV, things that you spend time on that take you away from God. Okay, cool. Yeah, sorry, that is an H. There you go, hitting. Yeah. I'm sure you can all think of other things, so I'm going to stop the whiteboard there. But I want to talk about a different water wing. So one water wing that we're talking about today that will help keep us afloat when we step out of the boat is communion. There's another water wing that goes along with that, and it's got a special name. It's called confession. Confession is just talking to God about these things, putting names to our fog. Talking to God about the things in our lives that are getting in the way, things that are keeping us from being in good relationships with God and with each other. And when we confess to God, hey kids, guess what happens? What do you think I'm going to do with this? when we talk to God about the things that are in the way, what do you think God does to them? Claudia, what do you reckon? Rub them out, do you reckon? I think you're exactly right. Jesus comes and blows the fog away. Yeah, and blows some of the name away, that's right. I'm a bit of a foggy person sometimes. It makes it all clear. And because we are a God of new beginnings, we follow a God of new beginnings, this happens as often as we need it to. It's not just a one-off deal on the days that, you know, that the one time when we confess and are forgiven. We get to do this all the time. And communion reminds us of that, that we follow a God of new beginnings, the cup of the new covenant, where the rules have changed and God wants to be our friend and do everything in his power to get rid of this fog as often as we need it. I'd like to read one last piece that tells us about this water wing. It comes from the letter of 1 John, where a friend of Jesus who knew him said this, and I'm going to read a couple of verses just before this. So listen carefully. John, who knew Jesus, said, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." This is the good news we remember in communion. When we confess, when we speak to God about the things that are not right, when we name the fog, we're saying to God that we do want to learn to live our lives better. We do want to relate to each other better. And we're asking for God's help to help us to be more like Jesus. So I'd like to give us a bit of space now to spend some time thinking about the things that are fog for us, that get in the way of us and God. If you have children with you, you might want to draw a picture of some fog. We have a bunch of clipboards we'll hand out. Lynn is going to play some music that will help us focus. And we're going to take a few minutes to spend some time, if you would like to, in confession, this water wing that will help keep us afloat as we talk with God about blowing the fog away. So let's spend some time in quiet. If I could have a couple of adults to help me with the clipboards for the kids. Drawings of fog, and I hope if you are not drawing that you've had an opportunity to give some thought to what things might be a bit foggy in your life and in your world at the moment. I'd like to just read again these last two verses from 1 John to remind you of what goes on when you speak to God about the fog in your life. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So God, have mercy on us all and forgive us and set us free, and may we know that we are forgiven and be able to walk into a new week fog free, at least for now, and ready to confess the fog again soon. Hand back over to Jacob for the moment. Thank you, Jacob.
Now, when Matt
was stranded in Wellington, he was staying with our good friends Darren and Lou and their kids Karis and Jack. Karis is four. Who's four? We have some four-year-olds here. Shania. Shania and Sophie and Gabriel. So, Karis is your age and Jack is two. Who's two? We have Zach and Moses, a few people are too. Okay, so the interesting thing about Karis and Jack, for me is they are the first kids I have ever known who learnt to do sign language before they learnt to talk. I don't know, some of you might be like this as well. It's become very popular, baby sign. And it's really awesome because it means that kids can communicate before they have words in their mouths. They can communicate with the people around them. And so Karis and Jack learnt to do things like this one is more, and this one is I'm finished, and they're really good for when you are eating at the table and you're trying to do the food wars, you know, more and I'm finished. Those are good things to know. And things like I'm sore and drink. And does anyone else know other ones? What other ones have you used in your families? What? Shoes. Okay, I'll put the shoes on, Carol. Please. Very good. Up. And it's interesting because please and thank you were among the first ones that I learnt and that Karis learnt. Thank you. Oh, your tea for toilet. Yeah, that's always good in classrooms. Thank you. It means that even quite little babies can learn to be polite and to accept gifts and accept when someone does something nice for them, like, you know, their mums and dads every minute of the day, can say thank you. And we adults, we teach kids how to be grateful and how to say thank you very early, don't we? Whether it's by sign language or by words. Can you all think how old you were when you first learnt to say thank you? It's probably before your memories begin, right? It's very young. But today it's not about what the adults teach the kids. Today, I want to find out what the kids can teach the adults about accepting a present. I will need one assistant. Claudia, I saw your hand first. Can you come and unwrap the present for me? And everyone, I want you to observe what happens as the kids are presented with a gift and what it might tell us about communion. Okay, we have a ribbon. We'll put the ribbon up on the communion table. And what's in the box? Dinosaurs! Okay, so we're going to go around and offer the kids, these are, you know, there's no flavouring, no like artificial stuff, so, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to be alright. So, Claudie, can you, we'll go around and we're going to offer all of the kids a lolly, and I want everybody to observe what happens as we do this. So one for Tessa. Awesome. One for Robbie. All these kids who are listening so well. Very good. We have Tyrone and Lita here. Are you all watching? What's happening? Oh, you're welcome. I hear a thank you. Welcome. I'm for Shania. We'll come around the other side for you guys. Not so much for Lauren, but it's lovely to see you here. One for Leland and Kaiser. Come round. One for Isaac. Oh, Claudie. One for Isaac. What's happening, everybody? What are you observing? One for Zach. Alex, would you like a lolly?
Thank you.
Levi, did you get one as they came round? One for you. We have Carl and Samantha here. Oh, you're welcome. Such good manners. Excellent. Over this side, Sophie, Maddie, Caitlin. You all observing? Feel free to make observations to your neighbours about what you're observing. And then round the front, I think. Claudia, it's for the kids. The adults might get in later. We'll come this way, Claudia. We've got Thomas and Jonathan and Gabriel and Moses over this way. Haven't missed anyone on this side? No, I reckon Jacob's the big kid. He's pretty lucky. Welcome. And Gabriel and Moses. Are there any kids who've missed out? I'm getting the sign for more from somebody. Okay, well, Claudia, come here. Would you like a lolly?
Yes, please.
Here you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Beautiful manners. Okay, kids and adults, what did we observe? What did we observe about how kids accepted presents today?
No hesitating.
Very polite. Yes, we have a bunch of good, polite kids here. What else did you notice, Tracy? Before they got to Jonathan, Jonathan wanted to. Yep, good. Stop screaming. Excellent. Yeah. Oh, nobody asked what they had to do to get it. I like this. Accepted what they were given? Yeah, yeah, no one was going, no, I want the other one. Yeah, 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 that's very good. What else? Well?
Started eating them straight away.
I like that. So how is this like communion? Communion is a gift given generously to us. A water wing to help us float, to refresh our memories about what Jesus has done for us, to refuel us for the days ahead, to connect us with Jesus more closely, because you can't get more closely connected than taking something into your body, can you? And communion reminds us of the best present ever in the world, in the history of the world. And this is always the right answer in church. What's the best present ever in the world? Jesus, that's right. When someone in communion says to you, this is Jesus' body, broken for you. Or this is the cup of the new covenant. We have been given a generous gift to remind us of the ultimate generous gift. Jesus Christ, God made flesh and blood. A teacher and role model who came to show us how to be human, how to do a better job of living our lives, who came and died in some mysterious way in our place, who stared death down and showed that he is stronger than death itself, and we can be part of his resurrected life if we will choose to follow Jesus and make Jesus the leader of our lives. So when we share communion together, we would do well to learn from these children. Just take the gift. Don't ask any questions. Don't hesitate. Don't argue. Don't protest that, you know, are you worthy to receive this gift? Did you see any child doing that? Not so much. This is a pretty amazing present that God has given us in Jesus, that we remember, especially when we share communion together. We're reminded in communion just how amazing it is, that in some mysterious way Jesus died for us, for you and for me. So we would do well to accept that gift like we saw the children accepting their gifts today. Just take it and say thank you. Don't argue, don't protest that you're not worthy enough. Take it. Be grateful and make the most of it. In a moment, we will share communion together. First, we're going to have the opportunity to sing a song. And I'd invite you to feel free to sing or to not sing, whatever is most appropriate for you right now. You may want to use this time to reflect in another way, but I'll hand over to Jacob.